The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
Here we go!
Email us at fantasyfootball@cbsi.com.
Here we go!
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
Let's go!
Now, here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, and Heath.
Man, what a weekend! And welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to Fantasy Football Today. It's Monday. And yeah, you guys already stole the thunder. You reacted to the big news on Saturday night / Sunday morning. Thank you, Dave and Heath, for doing that emergency podcast. I listened to it. It was very helpful. Good job. I appreciate you guys stepping up. Thank you.
I appreciate that little golf clap you gave us. That makes it worth all the while.
I hope you enjoyed your vacation. Everyone deserves time off. I mean, it's weird to take time off in the preseason in the NFL, but I understand.
Time off. No, I'm back here, fighting a lost voice from being at a football game, but we're pumped up to talk about preseason week 3, winners and losers. Big winner today is Ben Gretsch. Ben, what's going on?
How's it going, guys?
What's up, Ben? Ben informed us before the podcast that he's been up for 5 hours. We record this at 8:30 a.m. Eastern time, and Ben lives on the West Coast, so it's pretty incredible that you've already been up for like 5 hours, and it's only 5 a.m. You can do the math and realize what time Ben woke up to get ready for this podcast. We appreciate that kind of dedication instead of, other people's dedication.
Yeah, it's more about dad life than anything. I fell asleep with my youngest daughter at about 7 last night. So, and then just never woke back up. And then, you don't sleep a lot when you're a dad. So when you do that, you wake up at 1 and you're wide awake. And so,
I like to think of it as you actually put in 5 hours of prep time for the podcast.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you
did. Exactly. So, yeah, I had my alarm set for 1 o'clock so I could get in all the work I could get in.
All right, well, we're ready to go. So here's what I learned from the emergency podcast on Saturday night / Sunday morning, which was recorded after the Ion Fantasy Football Radio Show. So they did that at like 12:15 in the morning. So good stuff. Obviously, T.Y. Hilton down, but you still have him ahead of like Curtis Samuel, right? That's what we established?
Yeah, I do.
I do, but I think I'm the lowest guy on Curtis Samuel. I'm also the lowest guy on T.Y. Hilton.
Okay, so he's number three-ish. Number three wide receiver?
Yes.
For me, yes.
Okay. Well, I want to talk more about Marlon Mack and Duke Johnson and a Twitter poll that you ran comparing the two, which I was a little surprised by the results. But Ben, why don't we get your take on the Andrew Luck retirement, which just sucks. And basically, let's start with T.Y. Hilton and when you would draft T.Y. Hilton, Ben.
Yeah, the retirement, shocking, obviously. I don't think I have anything that insightful that we haven't all kind of thought and heard already. But as far as where I'm ranking T.Y. Hilton, he's not outside the wide receiver twos for me. Jacoby Brissett was traded on September 2nd or September 3rd in 2017 for Philip Dorsett 8 days before their week one game. He played in that game. He then started the next 15 games. That was all under Chuck Pagano and offensive coordinator Rob Chudzinski. I don't know how relevant any of that is. He didn't get a lot of time to learn the offense. It was a completely different offense. And I think Frank Reich has shown that he's a very good head coach and previously offensive coordinator thus far in his coaching career. I think things can be a lot different for Jacoby Brissett in 2019 than they were in 2017. I'm not knocking Hilton quite as much. I do think they'll be more run heavy. I think they'll definitely change their offensive look. But I have Brissett as not being nearly as bad as he was in 2017. I see Hilton's floor as basically being what he did in 2017. And I actually have him at, I just updated my projections. I have him at wide receiver 22 in my projections. That's about where I'd take him. I mean, there's not quite as much upside, obviously.
Yeah, my only, and I don't think we're probably too far apart in terms of projections for what we have for T.Y. Hilton. The thing that I struggled with, I agree with what Ben said. I don't think Jacoby Brissett will be as bad as he was in 2017. It's just that T.Y. Hilton is kind of a weird wide receiver when it comes to the borderline number ones before, because he never catches a ton of passes. He's never scored a ton of touchdowns. And this Indianapolis offense last year, you look at Hilton's share of the targets, he was really only on pace for about 21%. That's very low for a team's number one wide receiver. It's just that they threw the ball 645 times or 644 times. Well, when I take away some of those pass attempts, and I don't think it's quite as, like, I don't think it's very likely he's having a career year in terms of touchdowns this year. So I've got him for five. I've got him ranked at wide receiver 29. If he plays 16 games and puts up the exact numbers that I have him projected for, he'll probably finish closer to where Ben has him ranked than where I have him ranked, because five or six guys in front of him are going to get hurt, but I don't know which guys those are.
Right. So I'm with you guys on just about all of this, especially the part about the offense being a lot better. We've already seen evidence of Brissett playing well this preseason. He did it in the game against Cleveland. He missed on one throw in that game. And I went back and I watched the game against Buffalo. This is their first preseason game.
He didn't play well.
He had one pass knocked down. He had to throw another one out of bounds because he was getting pressured. It wasn't great. It wasn't as good as the Cleveland game. Mm-hmm. But he can throw in the short area very well. So you're going to see this offense look a lot different than what you expect. And so giving him big targets in the short and mid-range is going to be very important. And that's why I didn't move down Eric Ebron. It's an unpopular opinion. Eric Ebron still should be drafted as a top 12 fantasy tight end. You just do it later than you would have with Andrew Luck as his quarterback.
Okay. And so just, I know Heath gave some of these numbers on the previous show, but T.Y. Hilton was wide receiver 25 in non-PPR, wide receiver 28 in PPR in 2017 without Luck, but he had seven games with fewer than 30 yards. I think that was the really frustrating thing is, you know, it's not like he was a consistent number two, number three wide receiver. He was either really, really good in great matchups or he was completely useless.
He had 10 games where he was wide receiver 45 or worse.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great stat. And then that wasn't the only time we've seen him without Andrew Luck. In 2015, he played nine games without Luck, and his 16-game pace was not that bad, but the touchdowns were low. It was 68 catches, 1,024 yards, and three touchdowns. That was his 16-game pace without Luck in 2015.
None of that's with Frank Reich. I mean, I think it's a huge difference to look at Frank Reich as the offense or the head coach, but the offensive leader compared to the coordinators they've had in the past.
Yeah,
the offensive line too is much better.
It is a much better line, but also a deeper receiving core. So, all right, yep. So let's do some rankings here. T.Y. Hilton or Emmanuel Sanders, guys.
I still have Hilton ahead of Emmanuel Sanders.
Yeah, by a pretty fair margin.
Yeah, it's not close.
All right, T.Y. Hilton or Alshon Jeffrey?
Hilton.
I have Hilton higher than Alshon, but it's by literally two spots.
Hilton over Alshon, yeah.
A.J. Green or Hilton?
Green. Green. Not particularly close for me.
Green, and it's extremely close for me.
I have him neck and neck, but, I mean, that's knocking Green down with his injury. I mean, I think I'd rather take Green because when he's healthy,
yeah,
I would expect him to be a lot better.
Right.
Okay.
It's a matter of how healthy he'll be.
Robbie Anderson.
I've got Hilton ahead of Robbie.
That's the perfect... Like, I think you look at projections, and they're projected for almost the same thing in terms of, like, catch rate, almost everything. I've got Hilton a couple of spots ahead. If I thought that Jacoby Brissett was going to be what he was in 2017, I'd have Robbie Anderson ahead, but they're right in the same range. Flip a coin.
Yeah, I'll take Hilton, and same as Heath. I think that's a great comparison.
All right, let's go to Marlon Mack. Marlon Mack or Tevin Coleman? I think it was kind of a bad weekend for Tevin Coleman, right?
I agree.
Who would we rather have, Marlon Mack or Tevin Coleman? Ben, I'll start with you.
I'll take Mack. I don't think he really loses a lot here. I think they're going to be more run heavy. He's the running back on the team. I think this really hurts Nyheim Hines, but Marlon Mack is he didn't move down my ranks when I updated my projections. He's still ahead of Tevin Coleman.
The offense, though, it's going to be so much worse.
Yeah,
huge.
Absolutely.
And that was one thing, and I wanted to get Ben's opinion on this, because I know we do projections in a similar way. I do think they're more run-heavy, but I had them projected to be one of the fastest-paced offenses in the NFL, and I still think they'll have that intention. But I don't believe they'll be able to sustain drives like they would have with Andrew Luck. So I did actually knock down their pace a little bit in their total plays.
40
I knocked down their, what's that?
Plays. 40 plays I took off their offense.
Yeah. And then I also knocked down their touchdowns. So I did downgrade Marlon Mack, and I'd take Tevin Coleman over him.
I'm not even impressed with Marlon Mack this preseason. I don't think he's been that great or he's looked that great.
And I wasn't defenses that impressed
last year. They're not going to be afraid of the deep ball now with Brissett under center. You bet I knocked him down. He's behind Philip Lindsay for me.
I was never convinced that he's a great player. I'm not convinced that he isn't, but I think the jury's still out. But I just thought the situation could not have been much better for Marlon Mack. Best offensive line, great offense, going to get the goal line work. And, you know, two of those things are still true.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Coleman or Mack?
I'll take Tevin Coleman.
All right, and you're still on Mack, Ben, and Heath has Tevin Coleman. Well, go ahead. You want to get in, Ben?
Yeah, the only comment I want to make is I was a lot lower than any of you guys on Mack, it sounds like, and I think we already kind of knew that. So I didn't knock him down a bunch, but it sounds like you guys are coming back down to a lot closer to where I already was.
Is he in your top 24 at running back, Ben?
In my projections, yeah. In my rankings, yeah, I think so. Yes, he's still there.
He is in he is in non-PPR still for me. In PPR, I don't think he's going to catch very many passes. He's out of the top 24.
Yeah, he's out of my top 24 in PPR for sure, and he is exactly 24th in non.
Marlon Mack or Philip Lindsay?
I just told you, PPR matters here. Lindsay is ahead of him in PPR. I'll take Mack in non.
Same.
Okay. Mack for me.
Marlon Mack or Duke Johnson? Ben, we'll start with you. What do you got? This could be format dependent too.
Yeah, it is. In non, I'll take Mack. In PPR, I'll definitely take Duke.
I'm the same way, and it's going to be like we're going to get into Duke, I assume, a lot more. We don't get into it too
right
much.
Now.
Right now. I don't think there's much chance they're just going to make Duke Johnson a feature back. But all I did was give him like 35% of the team's rush attempts and 13% of the team's targets, and it puts him right about 200 touches. And I lowered his efficiency from what he did in Cleveland just because, you know, volume's going up. Maybe the efficiency goes down a little bit. And I got him into my top 24 in PPR. I've ranked him just a little below that because I want to see who they bring in. They're going to bring someone in.
Carlos Hyde.
It could very well be Carlos Hyde. I guess it could be Jay Ajayi.
We have an email from Bill who said he's picking up Jay Ajayi.
If it's one of those slugs, I'm probably going to be here with Sportsline and have him in the top 20 running back in PPR.
I don't know where this goes. I don't know where this goes with Duke Johnson. He's never had a big workload. And in college, he got dinged up a lot. He broke his leg. I did not think he could be an every down running back.
I don't care if he broke his leg.
I do because he would come off the field a lot. I would see him get hurt a lot, and I never thought going in, I didn't think he was going to be great in fantasy. I never thought he would be able to stay healthy. He hasn't missed a game in four seasons, but I think part of that is because he just doesn't get a lot of work.
Like he played 13 games in 2014 and had 280 touches.
This is college.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm
280 touches.
He was the king of limping off the field, is what I'm trying to say.
That's okay.
He's a small guy. He's not big. But like, I'm obviously excited about him. Hey, how about this? Are we more excited about Duke Johnson now than we were about Lamar Miller before the injury?
Yes.
Yes, because
there's no Duke.
We see, right. We don't see Lamar Miller.
Duke Johnson's better than Lamar Miller.
We haven't seen him get
the
better, work, so
we don't
know.
He's a better fit
that.
In PPR because he's going to catch the ball more, and I think I think this offense is going to fall on Deshaun Watson's shoulders more now than ever before.
This could be good for Duke.
Yeah, don't sign another running back. Just go with Duke.
Just throw the ball 45 times a game if you're Houston, and let Deshaun be your leading rusher.
Knowing that they are, they
what
have
could go
to
wrong?
Bring some. They're probably going to bring someone in. All right, so next one.
By the way, if he gets 200 touches over 16 games, it's only 12 and a half per game.
Is he a top 60 pick? Is he a round 5 pick?
I say no.
Yes.
In PPR, yes. In non-PPR, no way.
I'm not going to get him. No.
Okay. I mean, he might be right outside the top 60 for me. I just want to jump in real quick. You were saying he limped off a lot in college, but over his final 2 years, and he only played 3 years, his true sophomore, true junior year, he averaged 18 carries, 122 rushing yards. That's just on the rushing side per game. So, yeah, he missed a little bit of time in his true sophomore year, but he did play 12 games as a true freshman and carry 139 times. 145 carries the second year in only 8 games. That's when he missed some time. And then 242 carries in 13 games. He actually was kind of a workhorse at Miami.
I know.
I think he can handle a lot more work than people think. If they do bring in someone like Carlos Hyde, that's where I'm going with it. I think, and we can get into this a little bit later, but I think Carlos Hyde, the writing is on the wall. He's definitely going to get cut. I mean, I'm firmly believing that, that buzz. And I think if somebody like that lands there, yeah, they're going to take some early down work. They might take some goal line work. But Duke Johnson, the reason you like him more than you like Lamar Miller is he starts with a lot of receiving work. He's going to get more than Miller got. And there is no not as much of competition for Duke Johnson as there was for Miller in Duke Johnson being there.
Houston's not going to be able to run the ball well in like the first six games of the season anyway. At New Orleans, Jacksonville at home, at the Chargers, Panthers at home, Falcons at home, at Kansas City. That's week six. So the first 6 weeks of the season, I don't think they even need a Carlos Hyde or another running back. It would make sense to use Duke Johnson more in those games to catch a lot of passes. I can see the appeal in PPR. I just don't know if I'm ready to go round five with it.
Do you want me to release the results of the Twitter poll?
Yeah, last night?
Yes. I pick a running back in PPR, 4,000 votes. Duke Johnson got 46% against Marlon Mack, Derrick Henry, and Tariq Cohen. Mack with just 27%. Derrick Henry only at 11%. Wow. And Cohen at 16%.
I think that seems like a bit of an overreaction. I don't like,
know. That's a Twitter poll recency bias right there.
Yeah. I love it. I would take Duke Johnson in PPR over Mack. I would take him over Derrick Henry. The one I actually disagree with is I still might take Tariq Cohen in PPR. But just because while I do think Duke's going to catch more passes than Lamar Miller, I don't know that Deshaun Watson's going to dump balls off to the running back from what we've seen from him in the past at the same rate that the Bears offense is going to.
Dave, do you think Duke Johnson gets goal line work? And who else would it be as of right now?
Deshaun Watson is going to get the goal line work. The guys who they have on their roster behind him, and this is another reason why I'm a little nervous about going all in on Duke Johnson. Immediately after the game, Bill O'Brien is talking about his run game as a package deal. And as soon as he's asked about Duke Johnson, he's bringing up Tywan Jones' name. Tywan Jones, who's been in the NFL for 8 years, doesn't look good at all. He was the one who came right in when Lamar Miller got hurt. He was in for one snap in that third preseason game, and then they got him off the field. So they obviously value him. Damarie Crockett, Caron Higdon, these are undrafted running backs that they have. Crockett could be that short yardage guy because he's 225 pounds. He's physical. He's got some quickness to him. That's if they don't add anybody else. But we're talking about Carlos Hyde as an option. I think if the Texans are willing to give up another pick, they should call the Redskins and see what they want for Adrian Peterson. I think that would be a good fit for Houston's offense.
That would be great for Darius Geis, too.
Yeah.
All right, we have to take a break here. When we come back, more big news and preseason winners and losers. You've pretty much figured out at this point. We're going to be talking a lot about preseason week three and basically who's been rising and who's been falling throughout the preseason. Let's take our first break on Fantasy Football Today, and we'll be right back. What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. All right, a lot to talk about today. We kind of alluded to it earlier. Tevin Coleman, maybe not a great weekend for him because Matt Breida was terrific, and that's going to be one of the winners that we're talking about, Matt Breida. And just so much more. Tampa Bay running backs, Arizona's offense, Kyler Murray looked a little bit better. The Jets' offense wasn't very good, so we'll get to it. We do have some sponsors. We have Head & Shoulders. We have FanDuel. Go to FanDuel.com/FFT. Get a $5 bonus. And we have Lightstream, and that's Lightstream.com/FFT. You can get a credit card consolidation loan at a very low rate. Lightstream.com/FFT. Couple things to promote. Eye on Fantasy Football is our Saturday night radio show. You should be listening to it. It's super fun. We take your phone calls. CBS Sports Radio. It's also on Sirius Channel 206. That is 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern on Saturday nights. And the Cover 3 podcast, big week for the Cover 3 podcast, reacting to that stupid game from Saturday night, and also looking ahead to the official week one of college football. So check out the Cover 3 podcast. All our shows are listed on cbssports.com/podcast. I will have a podcast league announcement and an entry in a little bit. But the other big news, all right, Luck retiring, Lamar Miller torn ACL and MCL, Cam Newton mid-foot sprain. Do we think he's going
to
be ready
to practice this week?
We're good.
Okay. Antonio Brown going to have a helmet soon. We're good.
And getting an endorsement deal out of it.
Round three.
Yes. They see what a brilliant move by him.
That's Rosenhaus all the way. That is Drew Rosenhaus.
The Patriots activated Josh Gordon. They released Maurice Harris. N'Keal Harry may not be ready for week one. They have a lot of receiver news. Ben, Josh Gordon or T.Y. Hilton?
I will take
this. This is so easy for me. Oh, this is so easily Gordon for me.
That was a Ben sigh.
Yeah,
and Ben's I'll take Gordon.
Gordon's got more upside.
Wow, Ben, you are, you know what? You're going to be the T.Y. Hilton guy, man. You're going to have a lot of T.Y. Hilton.
All right.
Dante Pettis needs to earn a role.
Stop this.
Like, but they keep playing him with the starters.
Him and Marquise Goodwin with the starters, and they're like, we're going to make you play a little more. You need to earn something.
So what does that mean to you?
I think that he's just trying to motivate him.
Kind of feel that way, too.
Yeah.
When would you take Dante Pettis?
Round 7, round 8.
So he's still a top 100 pick for you.
He deserves to be in the top 100. I'll have to check my rankings, make sure it says that, but that's what I think.
I've got him 101.
Okay. Ben, who's the best Niners receiver?
I don't want any of the Niners receivers. It looks like they're going to play them all, and Kittle's the guy, and they throw to their running backs. That was one of my big takeaways from week 3 was they just have so many receivers. Deebo Samuel was in there. Marquise Goodwin's still going to be running around. They got a bunch more. I don't want any of them.
Deebo continues to look good to me. I just don't know if it's the James Washington curse. You look good in the preseason, but there's nothing that guarantees regular playing time once this game starts. So who knows?
Also, big news here is that Jerick McKinnon could return to practice this week. And
I like what you actually wrote in the notes, because I think that's more accurate.
Jerick McKinnon could return to practice this season. It was what I wrote in the notes, but I did not anchorman it. I actually read what I meant to write. What do we think about that?
I don't like it.
I don't like it. Yeah.
Yeah. muddies the situation even further in Stanford.
I don't think there's a very good chance, and this could be wrong. He can prove me wrong. I don't think there's a very good chance that Jerick McKinnon's actually good enough to get touches if Tevin Coleman and Matt Breida are healthy.
So is anybody
I agree with that.
Is anyone backing off on Tevin Coleman right now? Ben, start with you.
I mean, a little bit. And the reason why is I think Matt Breida might be better than him, too. I've been saying all offseason that I think Breida's a better player than McKinnon for the number two role. And watching their week 3 preseason game, just a reminder, I really like Tevin Coleman. I always have been a big fan. I drafted him a ton in Atlanta pretty much every year, thinking that if something ever happened to Devontae Freeman, he'd be a star. He wasn't last year. And it's kind of a reminder to me that he is a big play threat. He can break plays, but he's not particularly good at getting those little extra yards. He's kind of an upright runner as fast as he is, but he's just kind of a boom or bust runner. And then you watch Breida, and he's a little lower to the ground. He leans forward. He fights through contact. He gains extra yards. Breida is a really good running back, equally as explosive as Tevin Coleman or Jerick McKinnon, has all the measurables. I mean, I just think he's the best running back on the team. I just really like him.
I don't think he's as good as a pass catcher as Tevin Coleman is. I think Coleman's better in the passing game, and I'm going to have to double check my Believe or Not article when it gets published this morning, because I think Ben might change some of the words in it, because this was actually one of the things that I touched on. Is Matt Breida going to take the job away from Tevin Coleman? It's going to be a committee. We knew it was always going to be a committee. I think both of these guys can be useful as long as McKinnon's not involved. I do think McKinnon or Coleman is better in the passing game, and I am more concerned about Breida's injuries than I am Coleman's.
Right, and that's why Coleman is going to be ranked higher than Breida. There was a point very recently where I was willing to take Coleman in round 4, and I'm not going to do that anymore.
I still will.
Round 5, probably, but Breida in round 9, maybe even round 8, I think I'd probably have to go round 8 if I'm drafting with Ben.
I do like that value.
I do like that value more than I did before the preseason.
The thing is, I think there's 450, 500 touches available for these running backs in San Francisco. And Tevin Coleman's been a top 24 running back the last 3 years with fewer than 200 touches every year.
Yeah, I want to clarify. I still have Coleman way above Breida in my rankings. I mean, right. He played a lot more with the first team in preseason week 3. He looks clearly like their lead back. So he's definitely someone still to target. But for me, I just keep loading up more and more on Breida. So that's why I'm backing off Coleman just a little bit.
Do you happen to have the snap counts for these guys with the starters?
I didn't. No, I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but I know it was probably double the snaps for Coleman, I would guess.
I might disagree. I'm not sure if it was like that. I thought they mixed and matched a lot more than they did in the second preseason.
I know it was more for Coleman.
Yeah, but not by a lot. I don't think. I didn't. Oh, he, I didn't count.
Reed was out there.
I counted the Lions running backs, and that's a whole different story. But
yeah, that, yeah, we got to talk about that too. Le'Veon Bell may share the workload with Ty Montgomery early in the season.
Are you kidding?
According to ESPN, I don't know how. I mean, early in the season, that was the story. The guy kind of get the rust off, but
this is like your mom tells you to share your cookie with your little brother. And you like tear off like a tenth of it and hand it to him and say, "Mom, I'm sharing." All running backs share. He's not. It's not going to be a San Francisco situation.
But it's not going to be what it was in Pittsburgh either.
Well, no, it never was.
Never was, and we said that all along. And it's why I don't think Bell is. I'm not comfortable taking Bell in round one. Hopefully, you guys didn't take him in round one.
I think Montgomery is a handcuff for sure. Right? I mean, he.
But that's
really
the only
nice
way I'd draft him.
Training camp.
I'm not drafting Ty Montgomery if I don't have Le'Veon.
Sterling Shepard's going to play week one, according to ESPN. You could make, you know, like the first 4 weeks are exciting because he doesn't have Golden Tate on the field, but you could make the case he only has one good matchup here. At the Cowboys, not a good matchup. Buffalo, they've been good against receivers because they're always so bad against the run.
See how healthy Tre'Davious White is.
That's true.
But that's going to be a zone defense no matter what.
Tampa Bay, that's a good matchup. And then Washington, they could put Josh Norman on him, so I don't know how
they play zone two.
Those are all within the range of I don't care.
Okay,
except for Tampa Bay.
Okay, no, I don't know about the Cowboys. Cowboys have good corners.
They're going to have to throw in all these games.
I think they'll
from behind.
Like they're good. But Tampa Bay is the only one where I would adjust my projections because of the matchup. I'm not adjusting down because of those other ones.
Hakeem Butler, Arizona's wide receiver, he is out for the season with a finger injury. Meanwhile, rookie Andy Isabella is a work in progress, according to ArizonaCardinals.com. Did you notice Damir Bird made two nice catches on Xavier Rhodes?
Well, and one of my losers was Christian Kirk. And what Ben said about San Francisco, take what he said and then multiply that by like a billion. Because Christian Kirk wasn't even playing on the first drive. We've seen Sherfield, we've seen Damir Bird, we see Keyshawn Johnson getting rotated in with the first team, and that's kind of what Kingsbury did. I went back and looked at Patrick Mahomes' best year at Texas Tech. He threw like 600 passes. Nobody had more than 69 catches that season. Last year, I believe they had one guy that went over 80 catches, seven guys with at least 20 catches. I'm a little bit worried about both Kirk and Fitzgerald even playing all the snaps.
I think that has more to do with evaluating that young talent that they have. I think they know what they have in Fitzgerald and Kirk. Kirk had an end zone target. He almost had a touchdown in the game against
him.
I'm not ready to quote quite there. I still think he's got 900 yards, six touchdown potential.
Sure.
But I'm not going crazy.
I've moved Kirk down
that
a little bit because of Heath's concern, like same concerns that Heath mentioned, but I'm not going as far as he is.
And I do think
I didn't say how far I was going.
Well, you compared him to the Niners, and you said multiply it by 1,000, and I would say it the exact opposite way. I have a small concern about the Cardinals, and I would multiply the Niners' concern by a lot. So that's the way I'd phrase that.
Emmanuel Sanders or Christian Kirk?
Kirk.
Also, they scampered to check their rankings.
I have Kirk because I wanted to tell you how many spots I have of them. I've got Kirk, Shepard, Sanders in my PPR rankings, and they're number three receivers.
All right.
They're all behind Didi.
Kirk by a decent amount, yeah.
Oakland released Doug Martin.
No, they put him on IR.
Oh, they put him on IR. Does that make you more confident in Josh Jacobs?
Oh, they released him too.
No. From what I read, they put him on injured reserve.
All right, let's go settle the debate. What happened to Doug Martin? Does it matter for Josh Jacobs?
No.
No, because Jalen Richard is his threat. I think it matters for Richard, but we're going to get into that.
Oh, yeah, this is a winner.
This is awesome.
Yeah.
So we have NFL.com saying he's been released and Pro Football Talk saying he's on injured reserve.
Go to the Raiders website.
It doesn't really matter to me. I have two announcements.
You must know where Doug Martin will be.
The podcast league, the announcements. All right, announcement number one. We will have a military league. So that is awesome. Oh. Yes, we have enough servicemen and women.
More than enough.
Emailed. We might have two military leagues. I will figure that out. We're going to have to come up with a date, maybe do an untimed draft. I don't know, but we'll have a military league. I'll try to figure that out. I will announce the winner. I will email the winners hopefully today. I will announce the winners tomorrow. The draft is on Wednesday, so I apologize for the late notice. But I've got about 30 people that I'm trying to get into two leagues. And we're going to take a break. Before we go to break, let's listen to one of our podcast league entries. This guy's going to be in one of the leagues. His name is Pierre. We don't get a lot of like cool, fun raps. You know, we get a lot of like rock song covers, but here's a rap, a diss track about all the guys on Fantasy Football Today from Pierre. Can we roll it?
CBS Fantasy Football Today. I'm trying to get into this podcast league to draft that team and live that dream. Then replace all these jokers up on the screen. I'm about to go crazy. Start with you, Jamie. I know you's a gator and a hater, but don't try to play me. You Hall of Famer to me, like Champ Bailey. But you can't teach an old dog new tricks unless you're Tom Brady. And only you, Davey. I listen to you daily, but you an elderly hurricane. Willis McGahee. Listen up, everyone. I got a treat. You see, I got bars, but I ain't messing with heat. All these hot takes give me a break, for goodness sake. Everyone here know you tripping more than a suitcase. Should I mention Ben? Offenders? You serious? This kid only been on the pod for 5 minutes. It's all good. I show respect, but believe in this fantasy league. I'ma be coming for your neck. Sharp, correct, like a Gillette razor. Super duper dork, Adam Mazur.
There you go. You're in the league. I mean, that's really good, man. Great stuff.
As soon as you heard Razor, you knew that Azer was going.
Super duper dork, Adam Azer. I loved it, man. So thank you for that. And winners and losers right after this.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, winners and losers. By the way, I asked you on Twitter. You gave me some winners and losers. I disagree with some of them. We'll talk about later. Dave, let's start with you. Who are your winners?
Talked about Deshaun Watson and what Lamar Miller's injury means. Assuming that they don't replace Lamar Miller with somebody really good, this team's going to throw a lot. I think he's got a chance to have an MVP-type season. I moved him to number two in my quarterback ranking.
Welcome aboard.
It's great to be here. It's very nice here.
Yeah.
But I'm more excited to get him in round five than I was before. Like, I think that that's amazing value now for Deshaun Watson.
Would you take Deshaun Watson or Tevin Coleman?
How many running backs have I drafted at that point?
One. We're at the end of round four, beginning of round five. Maybe you could take them both, but
if it's the end of round five, I'm picking early in round six. There'll be a running back there that I'll like. I'll take Deshaun.
No, end of round five. End of round four, beginning of round five.
So I've got to go. Okay, so if that means I've got a stud running back early, I'm still going to take Deshaun.
Okay. Damian Williams.
Oh, he reminded us all of what he's capable of doing. He looked fast on that touchdown catch that he had. I like the way that he played. He was physical between the tackles. He has moved back up into my number one running back territory, right back where it was a long time ago. It seems like years ago, but it was really just like February and March.
It was nice.
But
to
he's
see.
Back there. And we know that Carlos Hyde isn't a real thing. Darwin Thompson, Darrell Williams, those are the real threats to his playing time. I think as long as he stays healthy, he's going to be worth it.
Okay, this makes me look like the low guy on Damian Williams. These are non-PPR rankings. I am a little more concerned about him in that format, but he's absolutely right in that same range.
You're referring to
higher.
Our video.
Yeah, on the video. Shows a 24th. That's just I don't think he's going to get 200 carries.
Okay.
He will have more touches than Duke Johnson. He will have...
I
no question about numbers.
I haven't ranked
ahead
of
touches wise.
No, there's definitely a question. If you gave Duke Johnson and Damian Williams the same number of touches, Duke Johnson's a better running back than Damian Williams.
Oh, I don't know about that anymore. I really don't. They're very similar in style and strength.
Well,
I think Damian Williams can handle the beating a little bit.
He's obviously going to go ahead of Duke. So Damian Williams or Josh Jacobs?
Damian.
Format dependent.
So easy.
Damian, and
so easy. It's Damian.
All right. Last winner. I like this one, Dave. Guy looked great for Detroit. T.J. Hockenson.
Yep, he's going to play a lot. He's fast. He's big. I'm positive he reminds that coaching staff of Rob Gronkowski, and you know it's a former Patriots coaching staff in Detroit. I love the idea of spending a late round pick on him. I'm still taking Darren Waller ahead of him, but get one of those two tight ends on your bench. Carry two tight ends at least. For the first couple of weeks of the season, just to see what develops.
It was like 2 weeks ago, you guys were yelling at me for having T.J. Hockenson as almost a starting tight end. Now you've both got him ranked higher than I do. This isn't fair.
We weren't yelling at
you. I don't
remember yelling at you.
Heath is a winner.
Yeah.
I'd
take Hockenson over Ebron.
Oh,
I'm not there yet, but...
That's fine.
Get them both, man. Get Ebron, get Hockenson. Wait on tight end if you don't get one of the big stars.
Are you taking Hockenson over Jordan Reed?
I'd like to get some more information on Jordan Reed.
Yeah.
The seven concussions in 7 or 9 years isn't enough for you?
No, I'd like to know how he's feeling today. I hope he's feeling okay.
I hope he's feeling great. But
good. Me too.
I don't know if he's going to play week one.
Heath's winners.
We talked about Duke Johnson plenty. I mean, obviously, Austin Eckler's a winner because Melvin Gordon does not look any closer to returning. I think you can take Austin Eckler in the fifth round of a PPR draft and in the sixth round of a non-PPR draft. He's going to be a worthy flex when Gordon returns, and he's going to be a starting running back until that happens. And then
do you want to talk about just he was used a lot more than Jackson.
Yeah, he's
in this third preseason game, but like, that wasn't the case in the first.
I did not ever believe that they were going to split touches evenly. I could believe that they might split carries evenly. Maybe Jackson scores one more rushing touchdown. But Austin Eckler has been one of the more efficient running backs in the NFL over the last 2 years. He's better than Justin Jackson, and I expect him to perform better. I know there's this thing like, yes, Austin Eckler had two bad games and one good game when he was the starting running back. Justin Jackson had three bad games and one good game, and the only good game was when everybody was hurt.
Yeah, yeah, and he got saved by a touchdown in that game against the Chiefs.
Edie.
Yeah,
I just wanted to add one note on Eckler. Sorry, I knew there was something I wanted to say. He was in on a third and one. I mean, we don't know what the goal line looks and the 4 yards looks going to look like, but he was in on a third and one. So I think at the very least, it's not going to be like Jackson is the short yardage guy. All right. Sorry, D.D. Westbrook.
We have time for a little confirmation bias this morning, don't we? I mean,
what, we already did this on Friday, Heath. You don't remember?
He's a winner.
He even said confirmation bias on Friday.
Yeah, go ahead. He's a PPR. He's a top 24 wide receiver. I would take D.D. Westbrook over T.Y. Hilton.
You know, Ben, as I pointed out on the Fantasy Football Today video show on Friday, this time last year, we were excited about D.D. Westbrook and Keelan Cole. So why is this year different? I mean, I know there are some obvious reasons, but I just don't want to get too excited about D.D. Westbrook because he caught a touchdown against, like, the worst team in football.
Okay, I'm not excited about him. I've been excited about him all
summer. That is true. Okay.
Yeah, and it's Nick Foles. It's John DeFilippo. I mean, that's pretty much the short answer, right? Like, it's a better quarterback. It's a better offensive coordinator for the passing game. I think he's a little bit crazy to take him over T.Y. Hilton, but I don't think he's crazy to be as pumped about D.D. as he is.
All right. How about your winners, Ben?
Yeah, we already talked about Breida a little bit. Dalvin Cook, I put him as a winner mostly because he's kind of had this latent upside or optimism for his upside that has been there all offseason, but people aren't really talking about him a ton. He's my RB7. One of my big takeaways from preseason week three is that I basically have a drop-off after RB7. I still have David Johnson in the top five after the big four. And then I have James Conner at RB6, and they used him a ton, and he looked like he was going to be a workhorse as well. So Conner and Cook were two players that I basically moved from a tier below David Johnson up into that tier, and then I have a drop behind them. I'm not as high on Le'Veon Bell or Nick Chubb as I am on those guys. And Cook in particular, just how good of a run that was. He pressed the strong side and held it long enough before he cut back, and then as he's coming out wide on the weak side of the play, he kind of points outside to keep the corner and then cuts right between two defenders. If you go back and watch that play, it's just a really good run. And Cook's a guy who didn't really test that well, not very explosive back at the combine. But this is why he still went in the second round and why he's still been very productive. He's a good running back. And I'm a card-carrying member of Running Backs Don't Matter. But this guy is, like, he's a good runner. And if he stays healthy for 16 games and gets the workload we're expecting, he's going to be very, very good. Probably a top five running back.
I guess I'd like to know more. I mean, you've talked a lot about why you don't like Le'Veon Bell, but why not Nick Chubb? Why is Nick Chubb not in that tier for you?
I'm still concerned about the passing game. I think Hilliard is going to be used a lot in the passing game, and then the later season Kareem Hunt return. I understand the logic that if everything's rolling and Nick Chubb's their workhorse at that point, they'll want to continue to use him, but I also believe the Browns are going to be headed towards the playoffs, and I think from a logical standpoint, they're going to want to rest him a little bit. Like, from a real football standpoint, I think we get really caught up in
fantasy sometimes.
Does that
ever happen? We talk about that. That just, to me, doesn't happen. Guys, coaches don't do that. They ride their guys. And we're like, why are you riding your guys?
Bill Belichick just doesn't play him. He'll just not play him for 2 weeks.
Bill Belichick
He would if he had Nick Chubb. And I think Chubb is...
I don't think he would.
I think he's a great talent. And I think when the Browns are in the thick of important moments in every single one of their games, you're going to see Nick Chubb on the field. And that'll be the case whether Kareem Hunt is suspended or not. But when there's a blowout, that's when I think you'll see Nick Chubb on the bench, because I think they've got a running back that they're okay with Hilliard, and I think they like Kareem Hunt. Hunt has not looked good this preseason, and who knows how he'll look after 2 months being away from the team. But I still see Nick Chubb as a guy that can help you win your league in a top 10 fantasy running back, and I will happily take him ahead of Le'Veon, ahead of David Johnson, ahead of Joe Mixon, ahead of Dalvin Cook, and many, many other well-known names at the running back position.
One guy I can think of where they did scale back his workload, I think, was Melvin Gordon last year. But he still, before his injury, was on pace for like 250 carries and a ton of catches.
Right.
So, I mean, he still was very involved. 250 carries was very good for a running back last year. Basically, every major running back was in that group except for Zeke. Ben, let's go back to your winners. So far, Dalvin Cook, Matt Breida, and two more guys, deeper leagues. I like how you give some deep league love here. Who else?
Yeah, Jalen Richard is a guy I've really liked for his pass catching ability now that they've released Doug Martin. It looks like, in my opinion, he'll also be the early down backup to spell Josh Jacobs. I think he'll get more carries. I'll project him for more carries than I was intending to. So he's a guy I really like. He's a similar to what we were talking about with Duke Johnson earlier. Because he already has the receiving work, if something were to happen to Josh Jacobs and he works into more of a rushing workload, he has the right touch mix at that point to be very, very good in fantasy. So he's one of my priority later round running back targets. And then Jerron Brown was the other one I mentioned with DK Metcalf being banged up, with David Moore having what sounds like a pretty significant shoulder injury. Jerron Brown, who only caught like 14 balls last year but caught 5 touchdowns, is probably going to be a starting receiver for the Seahawks unless they make some kind of big move. At this point, I think he's worth grabbing in like the last round of drafts just to see what happens, because Russell Wilson is so efficient pretty much with whoever they stick at wide receiver. I think he could be a worthwhile flex at some point this year.
All right, we're going to talk about losers. I'm going to ask you about Kerryon Johnson. Is he a loser? Not like, I mean, he's probably like a cool guy. He's like a winner, popular.
Yeah, sure.
But is he a fantasy loser? That's coming up right after this quick break on Fantasy Football Today, our last break of the show. And then we got a lot more to talk about. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so is Kerryon Johnson a loser in your minds, guys?
I hated how C.J. Anderson just isn't going away. First drive of the game, there's 5 snaps. Kerryon had them all. Second drive, it was all C.J. Anderson. It was 4 snaps. And then the third drive, Kerryon started the drive, played 3 snaps. He slipped on a play. He was running, slipped, and then he was gone. That was it. And then C.J. Anderson just took over, and I think he played 13 straight snaps until Ty Johnson came in to catch a touchdown pass from Matthew Stafford. So I almost get the feeling that the Lions really don't care about our fantasy teams. They don't want to see Kerryon Johnson become a fantasy superstar. They actually want to win games with their philosophy of using multiple running backs. And I had to take a step back, a little step back from Kerryon Johnson. I don't feel as good about taking him in round 2 as I did before.
I would just say, other than 1 month last year, all the other evidence we have from the last couple of years is if they really want to win games, they're going to get about 15 minutes into this whole deal in the regular season, and they're going to give the ball to Kerryon Johnson more than C.J. Anderson.
Yeah, so would you take Damian Williams or Kerryon Johnson?
Damian.
I'm going to look at it a little closer today. I could get to a place where I took Damian in PPR, but not in none.
Ben?
Yeah, Damian, easy. I really want to get a comment in on Damian because he was my biggest winner. David already mentioned him. I wanted to give him a chance to talk about him. But my biggest thought on him, number one, the fact that we saw Darrell Williams come in as their second running back. He's a 225-pound back. It looks like he's definitely going to beat out Hyde. That's why I think that Hyde's probably going to get cut. It looks like Williams is going to win that big back role. And it's essentially going to be the Spencer Ware of last season, in my opinion. Then you have Darwin Thompson, who's still very clearly the running back 2 to draft there, even though Williams was playing ahead of him. And he's basically to Damian what Damian was to Kareem Hunt last year in the early part of the season. And Charkandrick West was in the past, a backup passing down back. But he's a backup. I mean, every single preseason game so far, Damian Williams has played virtually every single snap until he's come out of the game for that game. Each week. I mean, I actually don't know about preseason week 1, but definitely preseason week 2 and week 3, that's what we saw. He gave a couple snaps to Darrell Williams on a short yardage, big back situation, but he looks like the every down back for the best offense in football. And I feel like we're going to see pretty much what we saw last year, where Williams is the Kareem Hunt role and is going to get plenty of work.
All right. And let me just throw on another winners before we get into all the losers. I meant to mention him, but very encouraged 2 weeks in a row by the workload for James Conner. It just doesn't seem like Samuels is as big of a
saying it all along. They don't need to worry about that. They've got other fish to fry on that team. One more winner, Ray Abbey's fiance Leslie. Ray's been a longtime fan. He's visited us before. They're getting married. Congratulations to both of them. Woo. He invented hashtag Azer Fantasy Tips. and now we've got a little bit of a fantasy family building, I believe, in California.
But you invented the pronunciation. So
congratulations, Ray. Congratulations. Condolences to Leslie. Congratulations to Ray.
Yeah, congratulations. Have a wonderful time at your wedding. All right, Ben, let's start with your three losers here. Who do you got? Dave, Jamie, and
Yeah.
Hey.
I mean,
hey.
Dave, I meant to say Dave, Adam, and Heath.
Hey.
And I called myself.
I'm not bad about Heath.
All right, who are the losers?
Yeah, I got Jordan Reed, another concussion. I think that's 7 documented concussions. That's he's a guy that, like, in dynasty formats, I've been treating as multiple years older than he is for several years, because I do think those concussions are ultimately going to probably cut his career short. That's a really disappointing thing to see. Disappointing is maybe not the right word. It's just a sad thing to see. I mean, he's had so many concussions, and we're definitely hoping that he gets better, but this is not great for his fantasy prospects. If he has another one in season, you know, you could be talking about multi-week absences, and he's been one of my favorite late round tight ends, not somebody that I'm really targeting now. Mentioned Nyheim Hines earlier, liked him a lot as a priority backup running back to add because of his receiving work. I've mentioned kind of that same philosophy a couple of times to show. I'm not as high on him now without Andrew Luck. It changes the offense in ways that I think affect him the most. And then just Cincinnati as an offense, their offensive line has had so many issues. In July, guard Clint Bowling retired due to a blood clot. Their first round pick this year, 11th overall, was tackle Jonah Williams. He tore his labrum in OTAs. They're starting a 2019 fourth round pick at guard. Their 2018 first round pick, Billy Price, won't start because he's not ready. So that's just, you know, somebody who they have talent they invested in and were hoping would be ready. And even with all these injuries, they're not going to start him. They shifted Trey Hopkins over to center to let the 2019 fourth round pick start at guard. You have left tackle Cordy Glenn with a concussion this preseason. He might not be ready for week one. A backup depth lineman, Christian Westerman, left the team that was thought that he might be retiring.
He came back, but
has missed some snaps and some time, and we don't really know where he's at. So this line is kind of in shambles. And then you're also talking about an offense that doesn't have AJ Green, and they just announced that they're going to start a UDFA out of Troy as their starting X receiver in week one of the NFL season, in the regular season. So that's Damian Willis, who's going to start for them. John Ross is going to play elsewhere, but they're starting, a 2019 UDFA. So I like what Zach Taylor's doing. I like what I've seen in the preseason. Andy Dalton's getting the ball out quickly, which is a very notable thing. In terms of how they're going to survive with this offensive line. But, man, it's really tough to light the Bengals with that line.
So how do you feel about Joe Mixon?
I downgraded him, and like I was mentioning a little bit ago, he is like a tier below James Conner and Dalvin Cook for me, where he wasn't a week ago.
So you're just not drafting him, because it sounds like you wouldn't take him unless he fell to round 3. He's going to go in round 2, and that's just the way that goes.
Yeah.
I get those.
Well, he's my RB... He's my RB8, so I would still take him at the end of round 2. I'm just so low on guys like Chubb and Le'Veon that I'm probably closer to right in line with Mixon, but he is a tier lower than Connor and Cook for me.
You guys, how do you feel about Mixon? I mean, this is kind of what happened last year, but again, he wasn't not nearly as good in losses as he was in wins. I know nobody cares about that.
Well, but that matters. I think matters.
Everybody.
It's a difference.
Yeah. Marlon Mack's the same thing.
Yeah.
He was awful in losses.
Yeah, this team's not going to win a lot of games, but I do think his usage is going to be varied and improved from last year.
Yeah, I expect the splits between fantasy points per game and wins and losses to be closer. It was like 6 points or something like that difference, a huge deal.
And if they do,
it's kind of fluky.
If they do trade Geo, which would make sense for them to do because they've got some nice young running backs behind Mixon anyway, don't think that means that Joe Mixon is going to get even more work. It just means that he's going to get the same amount of work that we're thinking about him getting. He's a candidate for 300 touches.
Losers.
We talked about mine, really. T.Y. Hilton, Christian Kirk. The other one was Daryl Henderson. I think it's, like, to me, it seems pretty clear that Malcolm Brown looks like the handcuff on this team. Henderson, the comparison I made last week is Rashad Penny. He just does not look like he's ready to play quite at this speed yet. And I still think he's got talent and he may figure it out somewhere throughout the middle of the season. But as of right now, I can't take him in the first eight rounds.
Yeah, I can't either. I think he's ready as a pass catcher. I don't think he's ready as a A-gap, B-gap type of runner. I don't think he's ready for that at all.
So, yeah, the Rams just don't play their starters in the preseason, and they haven't played Malcolm Brown.
But they've played Daryl Henderson
a lot.
They've
played Daryl Henderson and John Kelly, but they haven't played Brown. Mm-hmm. Dave's loses.
Marlon Mack, I think it's pretty obvious why. The Bucs running backs stink. And if you go back and you look at Peyton Barber last year, when it seemed like he had a better grip on things, he only had five games with double digits in non-PPR. He played 16 games. He didn't finish as a top 24 fantasy running back. So that should tell you just how bad Peyton Barber is. And then I think Ronald Jones, I think he looked a little bit better in the preseason game, but that offensive line was terrible.
Oh, awful.
I don't think this team's going to run the ball very much.
Jameis got sacked five times.
Yeah,
it was barely brutal. Played.
It was absolutely brutal. And then one more loser, Kalen Ballage, he also looked bad. And Kenyon Drake's out of the boot.
Replace looked with is.
Yeah, Drake is such a winner. So
he's a winner, and he's got one good foot. So that tells you exactly where the Dolphins are with their run game.
All right, Ben. So I've basically decided there's no way I'm taking Peyton Barber. I just no way. But I also was troubled by the usage of Andre Ellington. He's obviously going to have a role. So
no, he's not. Ogbonmorele.
Yeah, Dare Ogbonmorele.
Dare.
Goon.
But I mean, Ellington's like their pass catching third down guy. But you've been high on Ronald Jones. Are you still willing to take him somewhere around pick 100?
Are you willing to take him in a fantasy draft?
Because I still am, to be fair.
So,
but not as
yeah.
Excited
no, I am still taking him. And I believe me, I've actually been accused of on Twitter of having take lock on this, and that every time I come on the show, all I talk about is Ronald Jones. I've definitely been reassessing that. I totally agree with Dave that the offensive line has looked awful in the preseason. Another great stat on Peyton Barber, though, first running back last year, and I think since 2013, to have 250-plus touches and not get 1,000 total yards. It's bad enough to be under 4 yards per carry. He was under 4 yards per touch. He's not very good. So Ronald Jones, I think, has that opportunity now. Ogbonmorele's production in the preseason is definitely concerning, and there's reason to believe that he could be working his way into the mix. He played with the first team quite a bit in preseason week 3. I still think Ronald Jones has the most upside here. I still am looking at I like to take a wider look at things, like a more zoomed out look. I'm still looking at this guy as a guy who was very productive in college. We didn't see enough from him last season to be certain that he's bad, that way too many people are sure that he's awful. We thought that about Melvin Gordon after his rookie season because he didn't score any touchdowns in his rookie season. The next year, he started a string of double-digit TD seasons that hasn't stopped. We thought that about Devontae Freeman after his rookie season. The next year, he was the RB1 in all of fantasy. I don't think Ronald Jones is going to be that either, because I don't think the situation's very great here, like we said. But I think he's a guy we don't know enough about. He was very productive at college. He was a second-round pick for a reason. He was very young coming out, the youngest back in last year's class. I still think he has the most upside.
I love it.
And because his value is still falling, I'm still taking him. Yeah,
yeah, I love it. I agree with everything, even the stuff I didn't know, like that he was the youngest running back in that class. I agree with that. That's a great point. I wish I had made that point. All right, cool, Ben. So, guys, we got a sponsored segment here, the Head and Shoulders segment, offense versus defense. And what I want to know, we're going to pivot a little bit, talk about a guy that we haven't talked about at all so far in the show. Well, mostly Aaron Jones, but also Aaron Rodgers, Devontae Adams. We haven't talked about the Packers yet. So the offense versus defense argument here is, how much do you care about just how great the Packers offense could be versus how good those defenses that they're facing? You got the schedule in front of you.
They are at Chicago in week 1 versus Minnesota in week 2 versus Denver in week 3 versus Philly in week 4. So it's probably the toughest 3-game homestand that any NFL team will have this year. And then they hit the road to play at Dallas in week 5. That's a tough matchup. Then they're back at home week 6 against Detroit. But even that game's not going to be easy because that Lions defensive line is much bigger, and the Lions are going to come off a bye for that game. It's a tough slate. This is part of the backbone of my reason against drafting Aaron Jones. But it's not going to deter me from Aaron Rodgers in the passing game. I think they're going to have to throw in these games. A lot of tough defensive fronts. They're going to have Rodgers kind of take control of things, I'm pretty sure, in all 6 of those first games.
I, I kind of indicated earlier that there's like this peripheral where defense matters to me, but most of the ones in the middle I don't really care that much about. The problem for the Packers that I hate is that they start with two defenses that I think matter at the Bears and against Minnesota. And then you look at week 15 and 16 in the fantasy playoffs, they finish with two defenses that I think matter. And these are not defenses where, in my opinion, one guy could get hurt. Like if they have the Falcons injury problems and they won't still be good in week 15 and week 16, it won't matter. But they've got enough talent and good enough coaching that I expect they're still going to be good. So I do hate the fact, like most of the defenses on their schedule, I'm going to ignore, but they have their first two games and the last two games of the fantasy season against defenses that do matter.
For what it's worth, in week 8, they're at Kansas City. In week 9, they're at the Chargers. Week 10, home against Carolina. Those are not going to be easy games either. After the bye, they've got three games in a row that are really good. It's a reason to maybe shy a little bit away from some of the Packers players. Like I'm not taking Deshaun Watson over Rodgers because of the schedule. I'm taking Deshaun Watson over Rodgers because I think Watson is going to have to carry everything with the Texans at this point.
Davante Adams has a good history recently against these very difficult defenses, but his yards do typically come down. He's still able to score touchdowns, though. So, you know, there's that. And I just, the last thing on this is, man, there's your early season schedule is bad, but Raiders, Chiefs, Chargers, Panthers, 49ers, Giants, Redskins, that's weeks 7 through 14. Most of those matchups are just like you should be salivating over them.
I don't think so.
Are you kidding? I mean, the Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs, and the Panthers, 49ers, Giants, Redskins. Okay, but that's 5 of 7 matchups that could be terrific.
Redskins, I said after the bye last year.
They're going to crush the Redskins.
I would imagine they will crush the Redskins.
But that's it's a home game.
That's by week 14.
Yes.
Washington.
I just think it's too difficult to know with most of those teams 10 weeks from now. They're not the Vikings or Bears.
Right, but I'm just like, they could really make hay in the middle of the season. I do have to end this segment because we have to say goodbye to our video audience. And by the way, that is your Head & Shoulders segment. Head & Shoulders, great offense for your hair and defense for a flake-free scalp. Go visit headandshoulders.com/NFL for more. Stick around, Ben Gretsch. I know at least you and I are going to finish up this show. We have some tweets from our listeners about winners and losers, more quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end takeaways from week 3, and hopefully time for your emails. And thank you so much for watching Fantasy Football Today. Stick around for the remainder of the podcast. Well, Dave and Heath have abandoned us, so it's just Adam and Ben here to finish off the show. All right, Ben, let's read some tweets. I asked the listeners for their winners and their losers. And this was not just about week 3, by the way. This was just preseason in general. So let's see what they had to say. Preseason winner from Allen, the Jets offense, and the losers, Rashad Penny and Jalen Samuels. Do you agree with those takes? Because the Jets offense, maybe going into week 3, yeah, but they were pretty bad in preseason week 4.
They took a step back in their last preseason game, but I do think overall that offense is a winner. They played well enough in the other two games to show that they definitely have a little bit more upside than at least I thought coming in. Penny and Samuels, I don't really see them as huge losers, to be honest. I mean, yeah, the starters ahead of them solidified their roles, but a big reason to take them was never necessarily be like we should have expected that. We should expect James Conner to be the lead back early in the season, and we should expect it from Chris Carson as well. The reason to draft those guys is more that they might end up taking a larger role later in the season if something happens to the starter, or in the case of Penny, if he just outplays Carson.
Yeah, and I'll bring it up on tomorrow's show, but I do wonder if we're counting Rashad Penny out a little early, but clearly Carson has had a very good preseason. John in Robinson, winner, Buffalo. This one I don't really get because you know what? Like the one guy I felt all right about was LeSean McCoy, and then Frank Gore comes out and he's very involved. We didn't talk about that, but that's another annoying backfield. I don't know why Buffalo would be a winner.
Yeah, I'm looking up Robinson, New York, because I've never heard of Robinson, and I'm wondering if it's right outside Buffalo. I don't know why Buffalo would have been a winner either. That's not one that I would have guessed.
Okay, yeah. What's your take on that backfield now? I mean, it's not like we shouldn't be shocked. They have Frank Gore. Obviously, he's going to have a role. But I don't know. What do you think?
Frank Gore's going to have a role. LeSean McCoy's going to have a role. And I'm not drafting LeSean McCoy because I don't think he's going to have a role all season long. And it's not going to be a big enough role. I wouldn't take him in any round. So because we also know that Devin Singletary is going to have a role. And TJ Yeldon appears likely to have some type of a passing role. And there's been some talk from the team and the beats around the team that they want Josh Allen to work on throwing shorter. And they've been working with him on getting the ball to Cole Beasley and TJ Yeldon specifically in the passing game, in the short passing game. I mean, that backfield to me is just a mess. I don't want to touch it. If you're going to touch it, you got to take Devin Singletary and hope that by the end of the season, he's the guy.
From the Huck Show. This is so weird. Winner, Josh Allen. Loser, the entire San Francisco offense. Which, yeah, I think we've already touched on that. It's not a bad point, although I think you got to say that Jimmy Garoppolo certainly looked a lot better yesterday. Or Saturday, whenever that was. Josh Allen, though, I just have
not a big winner.
No excitement to draft him.
Yeah, and I don't think you should. He still showed inaccuracy in the preseason. He still showed some accuracy issues. And, you know, the big reason people thought that he was an overdraft or didn't think he should go there is because accuracy in college tends to predict accuracy in the NFL. It's not something that's a teachable stat, or at least that's not what the data has shown. It's a tough thing to just figure out. You're either an accurate passer or you're not. And I don't believe that Josh Allen is ever going to be a consistently accurate passer because of that.
All right. How about from Ben Schrager Fantasy? That would be our producer, our podcast producer, Ben Schrager. You should follow him on Twitter at Ben Schrag. That is BenSchraG. It's a lot of consonants in there, you know? A lot of consonants in that name. It's very tricky. Ben SchraG. Follow him because he's going to be tweeting out stuff about the podcast a lot. Winner, Iman Sanders. And then he put a sack of money emoji next to Sanders. Loser, Kyler Murray. And then he put the declining stock chart emoji next to Kyler Murray. Ben Schrager's Twitter game is pretty lit, as they say.
Yeah, I mean, Emmanuel Sanders was a winner for me in the preseason. He definitely moved up by getting back on the field, but he's not a sack of money emoji for me. He's not somebody that I'm drafting. That's just where I'm at on his age and the fact that he's trying to come back on such a short time frame.
He's back. What do you mean trying to come back? He's back.
I just think that he's still at risk for a re-injury. Like, yes, he's back, but what do you, you know, I don't know. And then I also think they're not going to be good. And later in the season, if he is having any kind of nagging, you know, compensation injuries or these things that pop up, they'll have every reason to just let Cortland Sutton and Deshaun Hamilton and Noah Fant run out and be the pass catching core to see what they have there. So I just, yeah, not
when,
really.
When
on that,
would but, you, when would you take Emmanuel Sanders?
I don't see the point of taking him anywhere. I have limited roster spots, and there's upsiders. I would take him in probably like the 16th round if I needed to take a receiver. But typically in that part of the draft, I'm taking more depth running backs. So
yeah, I'm probably like a round 9 guy in a 12 team league on Sanders, and I fear that he's going to be more like round 7 now after that one game. So I don't know that I'm going to get. I would have gotten a lot of him because I liked him all throughout the process. But then he has that one game. He looks great. He's back. And now I think he's going to get overdrafted. And then Kyler Murray is a loser. We finished with this.
Kyler Murray is, I don't think, should be a huge loser. I think he actually showed a little bit more in the third preseason game. They've been limiting their offense intentionally. And he looked really mobile again in the third preseason game. The reason I like him is still the rushing upside. He ran twice, at least that I can remember, where he gained a few yards. And he looks very smooth, and it's easy for him to just pick up some yards with his legs when there's nothing open. So I don't think he's a huge loser. I'm still drafting him.
I knew there was no chance we were going to get to everything. So tomorrow we'll talk about Sam Darnold's bad game. We touched on a little bit. We'll definitely talk about Garoppolo, 14 of 20, 188 yards and a touchdown at the Chiefs. Marcus Mariota. I mean, I think it's legit to wonder if he's even going to be the starting quarterback, man, like, or for how long he will be. He only threw 3 passes, but took a safety, did not complete a pass. Yeah, other guys, David Johnson, we got to talk about. Chris Godwin, another good game. Tyler Lockett, Kenny Golladay did not have a target against Buffalo. So there are some leftovers that we do need to discuss. And yeah, we'll save that for tomorrow. Ben, thank you for coming on the show, man.
Definitely, man. That was a lot of fun.
That is Ben Gretsch. I am Adam Azer for Dave and for Heath. I want to thank you all for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today. Na, 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 na.